The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace, light to you from Christ who is our hope. Amen. What is this? That's what the people ask after this episode unfolds in their synagogue. What is this? And then almost as if answering their very own question, they say, "It's a new teaching with authority." I have to confess that I have read and preached on this gospel passage plenty of times, but this week I am convicted by it again. And I think that's good. I think you want your preacher to be convicted by things again. That's probably for the best. Maybe it's our collective desire, our need for new models of authority. I mean, these are hard times, aren't they? Or maybe it's the cry from all corners and inside myself, and maybe you too, for a power strong enough to shift everything. I'm finding this story of Jesus casting out the unclean spirit relevant in all sorts of new ways. Now, I'm sure that there is never a time when you hear these readings read in worship and you space out. You just sort of don't keep remembering to listen. That never happens, right? Okay, I'm just checking. So today, I invite you to engage this gospel story again. And I invite you to do it very deeply. And to do that, I'm inviting us to use something that some have experienced before called the I Wonder, I Notice sermon. So we're going to use this method today, and we're probably going to use it next week as well. We're using it on this passage, but then we're also using it on the sister passage that follows, the one that we'll hear next week about healing. So in an I Wonder, I Notice sermon, we all become preachers for a time. We've all heard it once again just a few minutes ago, and in a little bit, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it slowly, very slowly. You'll want to have, if you'd like, your bulletins handy at that time. And your job is to interrupt me, and I mean that seriously. Your job is to interrupt me. And don't just interrupt by saying, "Hey, that reminds me of a story I heard one time," but interrupt and say it loudly and clearly, with either "I wonder, dot, dot, dot," whatever it is that you wonder, or "I notice, dot, dot, dot," whatever it is that you notice. And I'll repeat what you say so that it's amplified and all can hear it better. And after that, another person might jump in and wonder something or notice something, or else I'll continue until somebody else interrupts me again, because that's your job, to interrupt me. So here's how it might start from the very beginning of this passage. They went to Capernaum, and someone might jump in and say, "I wonder who they are," or "I notice that they're on the move," or "I wonder why they chose Capernaum." You get the picture? Yep. So in doing this, there are really just two rules. There are no wrong answers. Let the Spirit guide us. As community, let the Spirit lead us. You may feel silly, you may feel like you don't have anything to contribute or that you don't know enough, but those can sometimes be the very best interruptions. Your job is to interrupt, and it only works if you do. And secondly, use the structure. Begin your interruption with "I wonder" or "I notice." So are you ready today? My name is Jen. What's your name? Got to get our voices going. What'd you have for breakfast? I hope you ate breakfast. I hope you ate it. Oh, my. So, I wonder, or I notice, use that framework when you interrupt. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. I wonder why Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue. I wonder if he was invited to enter and taught. I wonder what he taught about. I wonder who gets to teach in the synagogue. I wonder why he taught in the synagogue.
I wonder if he did anything before starting to teach.
I wonder if he did anything before starting to teach. I wonder if he was a chief priest already. I wonder if it was advertised. I wonder if someone else was supposed to teach. I wonder to whom he taught. I wonder if he came with a purpose. I wonder who gave him authority to teach.
I wonder where the children were.
I wonder where the children were. They were astounded at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I wonder where he got the authority. I wonder what the scribes were teaching. I wonder how you teach with authority.
Was this a radical new pedagogical model?
I wonder if this was a radical new pedagogical model. Can you repeat that? I wonder who he was teaching to. I wonder what's wrong with the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit.
I wonder what a clean spirit is.
I wonder what a clean spirit is. I wonder how he could tell it was an unclean spirit.
I wonder how you describe an unclean spirit.
I wonder how you describe an unclean spirit today. I wonder if he was there already or if he just appeared. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" I wonder why he thought he was there to destroy them. I wonder why he refers to himself in the plural. I notice that the word destroy is very harsh. I notice that he knows who Jesus is and where he comes from. I notice that there are similarities between people like that back then and today. I notice he had the fear of God. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." I wonder what being the Holy One of God means.
I wonder why it's such a secret.
I wonder why it's such a secret. I wonder where they went.
Met.
Thank you. I wonder where they met. I notice Jesus has hope. I wonder why he associates the Holy One of God with destruction. I notice that Jesus doesn't enter into a dialogue or question the man. He gives an order. I notice that he doesn't put it against him, but against the Spirit. I wonder how he knows who he is. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. I wonder what it looks like when it comes out. And they kept on asking. Pardon? I wonder what they cried out. And they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. I wonder what they did to unclean spirits before. I notice that they focus on the teaching and not on the unclean spirit. I notice the people did not believe the words of the unclean spirit. I notice that we don't say unclean spirit. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. I notice they're advertising now. Thank you. Lots and lots of wondering and noticing. We'll do this again. I want to add a few more things that I wondered and noticed about and also make some connections with you. Some of these are things that we've already talked about, but I want to take it one more step. I notice that this scene comes early. It comes very early in Mark. This is Mark who didn't waste any time with sweet baby Jesus or those terrified shepherds under the starry sky. This is Mark who enters right in telling us the beginning of the good news of Jesus. And in one breath, John is crying out in the wilderness, and the voice from heaven is declaring Jesus the beloved. And in the next breath, Jesus is driven out into the wilderness for 40 days, but he does that in two verses. In Mark, he's got places to go. He's got disciples to call, and then in today's inaugural story comes right then. I notice that in Mark's gospel, it's this early story that frames all the rest that is still to come. That's how important it is. Freeing people from their demons, like we've just talked about, freeing people from their demons is at the very heart of Jesus' ministry in Mark. I wonder why it's tempting, so tempting, for us to get all mucked up trying to define who or what these demons are. We get kind of squinty-eyed sometimes and pointy-fingered, making mental lists of all the evil around us and how we'd really, really like Jesus to just send it packing out of the way. But then I notice that it's the unclean spirit that first recognizes Jesus, that engages with Jesus. And I notice that Jesus engages back in response, clear and strong and yet engaged. That's authority. Jesus isn't scared of this unclean spirit, that man's unclean spirit or our unclean spirits, whatever they may be. I notice that Jesus doesn't send out the person who is possessed. Jesus sends out the forces that bind up that person. God is against the forces that diminish life, not the people. God is against the insecurity and the fear and the selfishness and the hate, the forces that bind up that fellow, the forces that bind us up. Oh, I need some unbinding at times. I do, and I imagine you do as well. I notice how often we demonize people, to use that phrase, when actually, if we're going to demonize something, it should simply be the forces of evil. I wonder at how easily this story becomes about those people, that guy with the unclean spirit, or those folks who believe or act or vote or pray differently than I do. The powers of evil are the things that divide us from each other, that make us believe that addressing what you need means I can't get what I need, that we can't both have full humanity. Really, there is no them, no those people. In Christ, it's always the big us. So we're in the midst of a capital fund appeal here called Revealing Hope. Many of you have heard quite a bit about it. And in the fall, at the beginning of that process, we had that listening phase, and we had surveys and interviews that happened. And one of the sub-themes that arose was this desire to make a space for diversity of our voices and the diversity of our experiences. And even in community, with some similarity of worldview, and we have some similarity here, we do not all believe or think or act or pray or vote alike. So my question is this: how do we make space for conversation that uplifts our differences and ultimately makes our unity stronger and more faithful? That's the question that's before us, and I believe it's a good question, and it's a blessed question. There is no them, only us in Christ. So let me make one more connection. Have you heard about the caucuses that are going to be next Tuesday evening, Tuesday the 6th of February? Caucus gatherings will happen all over the place. This is part of our election process, and I know that many of you plan to be at the caucus meetings that day in your area. Back in November, back in December, in our congregation, then across the state, with all sorts of folks from Isaiah, we had house meetings, and many of you participated in those as well. And around the circle, in living rooms and kitchens and at people's homes, we shared of the pain that we have or those that we love are experiencing related to immigration and to health care and to racial injustice and economics. It was powerful. So using those conversations, gathering all of the things that were added into those thousands of house meetings, folks in Isaiah and other partners created a faith agenda. A faith agenda. These are basic tenets that we use in electing leaders, honoring every person's dignity. That's basic, but it's important. An economy that allows everyone to thrive. That's basic, but it's so important. The purpose of this agenda is not to support one party or another party, but to ask of those we may choose to vote for in any party, will you support the tenets of this faith agenda? So some of you have pledged to be faith delegates seeking to go all the way to the state party conventions upholding this faith agenda. And many others are supporting this agenda work as well. I share this today because it's one of the bold ways, and it's pretty bold, kind of complicated and bold, that we're holding on to our faithful authority this season. So as Jesus called out to the unclean spirit, the folks in the synagogue that day asked one another, "What is this?" And then they answered, a teaching with authority. I wonder what could really happen if we dared to take on the demons that possess us. And oh my, there are so many. And I wonder what happens when we are part of casting out and silencing those forces that seek to sway us toward idols, that pull us from our faith. Surely people would wonder, like they did in the synagogue that day, what is this? And then they'd know once again that God is at work and that God's reign is coming in us and through us again and again. For that's what good news looks like. Amen.